do tell them to smile every once in a while. That's something that people need to do. It makes people wonder. You can smile at people and they wonder what you've been up to. It's just so wonderful to see them go, okay, what do you do? It's good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to get to come. Sorry that Robert and Faye are out of town in one sense. In another sense, he's doing a meeting, and so that's going to be a great thing for the church there, and we know that Robert will do a good job. And you're very fortunate to have him here working with you, and so enjoy him and teach him. He's still young. You can teach him a lot of stuff, so train him like you want him, and that'll work real well. But it's good to be here. Lynn and I appreciate the opportunity to come. We're doing so much church now, we don't know what we're doing, I'm telling you. The congregation, we're members at Cross Point now, where Jeff is an elder. And so Monday morning, Linda goes to Bible study. Tuesday morning, there's a bunch of old men that meet, about 15 or 20 of them at the church building. They cook breakfast, and so I go up there and eat breakfast on Tuesday. Then Thursday, we go and pack bags for groceries. They give out about, somewhere between 50 to 75 bags of groceries every Friday. So we pack the bags, and Friday we go back and we do that. Church there, we go to a 5:30 service, and sometimes we went to the 5:30 service and then went to another 7 o'clock service at other congregations. And I said, do I have to go Sunday? I punched my ticket twice tonight. She said, yes, you do. So, I have to go. No, I get to go. But we appreciate the opportunity to get to come and to be here and to speak and to get to see all of you again. We appreciate that. Sorry we wasn't here for homecoming. We wanted to be and had planned to be, but our daughter had a little procedure done, and so we thought we needed to go to Texas and play with three little girls for a little while, and enjoyed that to no end. It's always great to hear them. They can tell you stuff you don't even know. And some of them can scream it too, but that's the way it goes. I hope you like what I've got here. Never ever give up. I want to encourage you. Don't give up. You keep on serving God. You keep on doing God's will, and don't worry about it. Somebody put a clock up here. Does it work? The next question is, does it go off? Somebody said, we didn't think about that. We'll do that next time. But that's a good thing. Of course, I'm preaching with this iPad thing. I've got the clock up here. You know what it means? Nothing at all. I ignore it. Sometimes I ignore other people that are trying to tell me it's time to quit too. I won't mention any names. We don't need to give up. I love this little thing. I saw this. Lynn and I asked Lynn, I said, what do you think about this? She said, I like that. You need to use that. And I like that. Never, ever give up. Charlie Brown was a guy who was an optimistic person, I think, and he was not going to give up. He had the encouragement of his friends around him not to do that. So if you can, you be a friend that encourages other people not to give up and not to stop. The idea of Hebrews and the passage that we read you're hearing a while ago is that the Hebrew Christians were facing some difficulties. They were facing problems. And those problems that they faced were the kind of problems that could cause a person to give up the faith. And some of them were questioning whether it was good to do that. They had been Christians for a good long while. The newness had worn off of it. The idea of this being something that was exciting and going on. I talked to a guy the other day and he said, man, we had such an exciting service. I said, I thought about saying, what if you had a dull service? Would you still worship God just as much? We need to worship God as God dictates and be excited about that and not just about things that happen around us. But we need to be people who recognize we don't need to quit. The Hebrew people, some of them were, the Hebrew Christians were going back to Judaism. Some were probably going back to paganism. Some were just giving it up and walking away. That happens even today. Someone has said that after 5 years, after baptism, and within that next 5 years, many people stop becoming faithful. because the newness is worn off. And not only that, maybe those of us that are to encourage them, we're not there doing it and encouraging them and helping them in every way to remain faithful. So we need to remember to do that. This Hebrew writer wants these people to remain faithful. He wants them to stay as those that are serving God and doing God's will. And they need to recognize the importance of this and how important it is that they serve God. We see also that many of our children become unfaithful. We blame colleges, we blame other people for that. It is our responsibility to give our children a faith that when they leave our house, they're able to continue serving God and doing God's will. Now, please don't think you can send your children to a Christian school and they're going to gain everything they need to remain faithful. I've seen children at Christian schools that weren't faithful to God and didn't serve God. But we've got to train our children, and don't put that responsibility off on anybody else. It's us. We need to do it. Somebody said we're losing 50% of our young people, or even more than that, and certainly we know that that's true. Some come back, some do not come back. But what we want to do is to keep every one of them. How can we deal with this? How can we handle this? How can we deal with this problem that is such a great problem? How are we going to do this? You know, sometimes we just want to give up. We want to quit. We want to stop. Sometimes because of things that we have been taught that are hard for us to understand. Jesus was talking to some of his disciples in John 6. He had fed them. They were looking forward to the food that they could gain from Jesus because of what they wanted. That's what they wanted to do. But here these people needed to realize that they were to be faithful and they had to remain faithful. And so here Jesus is saying to these people, he had talked to them and helped them to understand some things about, okay, talking about the Lord's Supper, I think here. He was saying, what you've got to do is to eat my flesh and to drink my blood. And they said, well, we can't follow that. We can't. He's lost his mind. And so here he's trying to tell them something about the Lord's Supper that should help us to understand when we partake of the Lord's Supper, our idea of we got to have Jesus Christ as inside of us. He's got to be part of us. And so Jesus turned to the disciples and he said to the disciples, will you leave me too? Peter spoke up and said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have that. And it is your words that we live by. That's what he was really saying. And you're the only one that has that. We need to remember that in a very special way in the times we live in today, because in the times we live in today, we need to help people to see that Jesus Christ is the only way, because we're going to face some times when we're going to face people that are going to say Jesus Christ is not the only way. We have for years, we just haven't realized it. It's a little more in your face nowadays because of some of the religious groups that have come into the United States. But we need to stand forth and be people who stand up for what is right. We need to be people that we're going to serve God. We're going to do God's will. And it's true. Where else can you go? There's no other place. Jesus Christ is the only one that has the words that can help us to be able to go to heaven and to be able to enjoy this life that we live in today. We've got to recognize that. Now, something else that I want you to see too. Winston Churchill was asked to go to a very prestigious college in England and speak. They were all looking forward to him being there. You can imagine them at that time advertising, putting out papers all over the place, letting people know, hey, Winston Churchill is going to come. He was a great hero to that nation and should be. So he comes and he gets there. And so this little short, kind of fat guy gets up to speak, and they're waiting for the great words out of his mouth. He stands up and he says, never, 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 never give up, and turns and walks off the stage. And those people were just sitting there going, and I imagine some of them said, well, he should have said more, but he said enough. He said enough. We need not to ever give up, never stop. But we've got to work on being faithful. Have you ever had things in your life that you wanted to do? Maybe you've got this bucket list, and this seems to be a popular thing nowadays, of things you want to do before you leave this world. Some want to skydive. Some want to jump off mountains. I haven't figured out why in the world they want to do that. I mean, you know, if you're on a perfectly good mountain, don't jump. Stay there. But people do that. What things have you done in your life, or what things have you not done in your life that you would like to do? Maybe you've got your bucket list of things that you want to accomplish. Maybe you've accomplished all of them and you're just standing around waiting to die. Please don't do that. understand that Jesus Christ has given us things to do until the day we leave this world, and even after we leave this world, He's given us things to do. And He wants us to be people that we recognize how wonderful it is to serve Him. In Hebrews, the first chapter, the Hebrew writer starts talking there about Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he talks about He is the one. Verse 1, he talks about we have listened to the Father. The prophets have taught the fathers what to do, and the fathers have taught us what to do. But then in chapter 2, or verse 2 there in chapter 1, he said, we have Jesus Christ now. He is the one that's leading. He is the one that's guiding us. He is the one that is instructing us. Listen to this. Verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, listen to this, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. God speaking to us through the Son of God, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. He said He's showing the power that Jesus Christ has. He's showing the source that we need to listen to. And we need to hear what Jesus Christ has to say, because He is speaking for God. When you hear Jesus speaking, you hear God speaking. It is that close. They're speaking the Word of God. They're teaching the Word of God. He shows that the power and all that power, all that strength is found in Jesus Christ. Now, why is He doing this to people that are Christians? Why is He doing this to people that may be thinking about becoming unfaithful, or maybe they are unfaithful now? Why is He doing this? Why is He saying this? He wants them to know the greatest one that you need to follow is Jesus Christ. He speaks from God. Listen to what He has to say. It's grace to listen to preachers. It's grace to listen to what other people had to say. But let me tell you something. Go straight to the source. Look at what Jesus Christ has to say. Study what He has to say. Our greatest fault in Christianity is that we don't know the words of Jesus Christ. We need to know the words of Jesus Christ, because in this we have power, we have strength. He is greater, as He goes on to say, than angels. He's greater than any prophet. He's greater than anybody. And what He's trying to do is set these people up to understand this is the source you need to be going to. No matter who we trust in, I don't care how strong and how great it is, no matter who we trust in, we have to realize that sometimes those people are going to fail. What if you put all your faith and all your trust in a person? A preacher, an elder, parents, and then they fail. What do you do? I want you to have those heroes. But understand, the greatest hero of all is Jesus Christ. And we need to listen to what He has to say. We need to hear His words. Sometimes Christians give up. Sometimes they fail. What do we do then? We come back to the one that helps us, and that's Jesus Christ. We come back to Him and let Him help us as we are going to serve God. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. I want you to see how important it is that we follow this, and that we do what He wants us to do, and we follow His words. If I can get this thing to work here. Okay. Starting in verse 4. The Hebrew writer, and remember, he's trying to help people how to learn how to remain faithful. He said, the reason we need to be encouraging people to be faithful and the reason we need to remain faithful is this. Look at this reason. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the age to come. He said, they've had everything. They've had everything that heaven has to offer. They've had God. They've had Jesus Christ. They've had the Holy Spirit. They've had that Word that is so powerful and strong. They've had it all. And what if they've had all that and they turned their back on that? Listen to what he says here. He said, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. They are going to, if they fall away, to bring them back. Since they have crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Why is it so important that I remain faithful and that you remain faithful? It is for the sake of other people. It is for the sake of their soul. It is for the sake of our soul. It is for the sake of the whole world, to let the world know that we are going to serve God and that there is a way. People need to see people walking the way of Christianity, knowing what God has to say and following that. And it is an important thing, because sometimes after people, and some of you that have tried to go out and bring people back that have become unfaithful, that's one of the hardest things to try to do. What can you offer them? They've already seen everything. So there's not much you can offer them except what they've turned down already. What do? Let me tell you something. You keep offering that to them. You keep offering it to them, because this is the only way. If Jesus Christ has the words of God, if Jesus Christ has the words to save our soul, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then we need to keep putting that before them. It's like a starving person. They may not want to drink that water, but we've got to help them to see the need to do that. Now, you can't force Christianity on people, and we don't need to do that either. But we do need to help them to know. And so here he's showing the reason why we need to be willing to do that. Because sometimes people will become unfaithful. They will become those that are not going to serve God. Those that are not going to do God's will. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes it is impossible to bring them back. What causes us to become unfaithful? What's the reason for it? Well, there's various reasons, and I want to just look at a few here as the time permits us. Why do we become unfaithful? Why do we become those people that we give up? First of all, because we drift away. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Here he's talking about to these people there that are drifting now. And look what he says. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, unless we drift away. We need to keep the Word of God always with us. We need to put it in our heart. We need to learn to memorize it. We need to learn to know what that word has to say, so that at times when things get hard and we don't know exactly which way to go, we can rely on the Word of God. We can trust on that, because it's the thing that gives us the strength and the power. It's the thing that helps us to be able to go on. But slowly, over a period of time, we drift. You know what drifting is? Drifting is when you just don't realize you're moving, but you're just moving just a little bit. And before long, we wake up and say, wait a minute, how did I get here? What happened? I've seen people that were members of the church that became unfaithful. And you go sit down and you talk to them, and some of them will say, I don't know how I got where I am. I used to teach a Bible class. I used to preach every once in a while. I used to lead singing. I used to pray. I used to do all those. The ladies, I used to teach a Bible class. I used to do all those things, but I just don't know how I got away from that. That happens to us. What we have to do is to realize where we are and who we are. We have to realize that in such a way that we're going to draw ourselves closer and closer to God. And we can change. We don't change very easy. So if you're starting to drift, we're going to change gradually, but we are going to change. Now, if you want to come back, sometimes it's a gradual thing to come back to. We come forward on a Sunday service, or maybe we call one of the elders or the preacher, and we say to them, listen, I want to get my life right. I want you to pray for me. And we'll just pray for people right there. Maybe as we're visiting them, we pray. It's not going to happen overnight. Those habits that you started of not going to services, they're still going to be there. What you've got to do is to change that just a little bit. And you've got to say, listen, it's Wednesday night, I need to be at the services. It's Sunday morning, I need to be there at the Bible class. I've seen people that had the greatest intention in the world. They had the greatest intention of following God and doing God's will and serving Him. They're going to come back to God, but then, well, Sunday morning they're not there. Sunday night they're not there. And then Sunday morning they're not there. Bible class they're not there. Wednesday night they're not there. And before long they're right back exactly where they were again. Drifting away from God. When you make up your mind, and maybe this is the reason that we need to make a public confession of things, so that we can let everybody know, I'm trying to do what's right, now you help me do that. When a person responds to the invitation, they're asking every member of the church for help to overcome sin in their life, to not drift away, to not get back like they were before, but to be that person that is faithful in serving God and doing His will. And attending service is just a part of it. It's just the outward way of it. But then we start studying our Bibles again. We start finding out what it has to say. We start helping other people and doing for other people. That's going to help us in a very great way. Have we changed our beliefs about things? Have we changed how we feel about things? Well, sometimes we need to. Sometimes we do need to change. And sometimes we need to get a resolve to stay where we are in serving God and doing God's will. We've got to be willing to do that. But sometimes we just drift away. But then also, there are those times that we become unbelievers again. You say, no, wait, how do you do that? I haven't denied Jesus Christ. I haven't said I don't believe in Him. In fact, I do. Most of the people, if you go talk to them that are unfaithful members of the church, they tell you, hey, I love the church. I love God. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not that kind of person. What do you mean you think I'm an unbeliever? I'm not that kind of person. But we are. Listen to what Hebrews 3 and verse 12 says. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 said, beware. That means you need to be careful. That means you need to listen. That means you need to think about this. Beware, brethren. Now understand here, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the people at church. He's talking to people that are Christians. Sometimes we want to take the Bible and apply it to everybody outside the services, and here we are in here, and it's all those heathens outside. Let me tell you something. Listen to this. Not all the heathens are outside. Is that right? No, they're not. Listen to what he says here. Beware, brethren, unless there be in any of you, Christians, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Did you come here today with the resolve of I'm going to be faithful to God until the day I die? Or did you come here today and you say, you know, I'll give him one more chance. One more chance. And if they don't stack up, I'm out of here. Maybe you're thinking that right now. For me and the elders to think that everybody here believes all this stuff that we're talking is foolishness. I mean, I wish it was. I wish everybody did believe it. But to think that is to be in a dream world somewhere. That's the reason that we're doing this teaching. That's the reason we're doing this preaching. That's the reason we're doing all these things at services, to encourage people to be faithful. That's a part of it. But here it's saying that there are people that are members of the church that are sitting in services that are unbelievers. Oh, wait a minute. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I was baptized years ago. Where's your heart? Where's your heart at? Are you really dedicated to it? Or is it just something you do habitually? Is it just something you do because you're supposed to? Maybe your wife's going to fuss at you if you don't. Your parents are going to get you if you don't. Your grandparents are going to get you. It looked bad on somebody. Or is it because you want to give your life to Jesus Christ? That you want to serve Him with everything you have. You want to give Him everything that you have. Let me tell you, we can become too busy. We can become so busy in our world that we don't have time. I've seen people that, man, they were so busy at work, they just did not have time for the worship service. They didn't have time to serve God. They didn't have time to do God's will. If you're that busy, you need to get you another job. I don't care how much you're making. You want to go to heaven? It costs time, talent, ability. It costs your heart to do that. And you make that commitment. You make that commitment and you've got to remain faithful no matter what. Doubt leads to the idea of just helping us to become stronger or weaker. Now, did you hear what I said? Doubt can have the ability to make us stronger or weaker. Because sometimes when we realize how weak we are, we want to come back to God. And we can say, I'll never do that again. I'll never go away from God again. I'm going to study. I'm going to find out what He wants me to do, and I'm going to try to do it with everything I have. I don't care what it is. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then sometimes this can cause us to be satisfied where we are. This can cause us to be those people that you know, we don't try to find out the real answer. We don't try to find out what we can do to be better. And so we just stay where we are. And then after a while, we've gone away. We have that evil heart of unbelief. And we don't believe and we don't trust. What we need to do is some simple things. We need to ask others to help us. That's a part of what we do when we come forward and make a confession. We ask others to help us. Let me tell you something. When somebody responds to the invitation, you be there and say, listen, what can I do to help you? Now, they may say, I don't know. Because, honestly, they don't know. But what you can do is say, listen, let's get together and pray. Scare people to death when you tell them you're going to pray for them. Woo! I've seen people go just pale when you tell them, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. Won't you come to Bible study with me? Come in here and sit in class with me. And let's find out what it has to say. Let's get together and let's study the Bible. We need to help people to see that they need to be reading and studying the Word of God. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and verse 14, listen to what the Hebrew writer says. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We need to be studying the Word of God, finding out what it has to say, reading that Word, asking others to pray for us, asking others to help us. We've got to be willing to do that. If we don't do that, we're going to become unfaithful. Final thing here, and this may sound strange to you, but one of the things that causes people to become unfaithful is boredom. Now, to be able to satisfy this boredom sometimes in the church, we've done some crazy things. We've turned lights out. We do this way and all these other little bitty things that we're trying to do to get rid of the boredom. That's not it. The boredom is not on the outside. The boredom is on the inside. I've done this. Have you ever partaken of the Lord's Supper and after you get through, thought, I didn't think a thing in the world about that. Somebody's praying. And our minds are wandering off about what other things we're doing and all. And we just become bored. Sometimes it's the sermon, okay? That's what y'all are sitting there thinking. Yeah, if those sermons weren't as bored, we wouldn't be bored, you know. And so I can put on a wild suit and I can do a dance up here and I can do all this other stuff. You know, again, that's on the outside. We got to look at the inside, the boredom on the inside. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He's saying here, let's get away from repentance and faith toward God. Yes. We've done those things. Let's go on. Let's not stay where we are. A part of the reason for boredom is that we're not growing in the faith. We got to grow in the faith. We got to grow. And a part of that is what we're trying to do today. Remember the old adage, idle hands of the devil's workshop? Get up and go to work. Do some things. Well, there's nothing to do at church. Let me tell you something. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life for people to say. There are people that are sick that need to be visited. There are people that are unfaithful that need to be visited. There are people that are becoming unfaithful that need to be visited. There's people we just need to visit because they're old or they're young. There's things to be done, and we need to be doing those things. Jesus said, lift up your eyes because the fields are white unto harvest. There's enough to be done. We shouldn't be bored at all. Retirement. I've heard people say, I retired and I don't have a thing to do. And I'm thinking, where in the world are you at? I don't know how I had time to do what I did. We're going here and doing this and doing that and involved in this and involved in that. It's silly to be bored. And let me tell you something. Let's put it where it's at. It's your problem if you're bored. Don't look at other people to solve it. Solve it yourself. You become one that's involved in that. Invite, teach, help, do what you can for other people. Help them in every way that you can. We need to be people that we're never going to give up. We're never going to stop. We're never going to quit. I'm going to be finding something to do. And if you want to do something in the church, you can find it. You can. Are we drifting away? Are we those people that are becoming bored? Are we people that just we're losing our Christianity and our Christianity is just going the way of the world? And we're becoming more like the world and not like Jesus Christ would have us to be. Let me tell you something. One of the most exciting things you can do is be a child of God. Amen. That was a good one. Y'all missed that one. is to be a child of God. Because we study the Word of God and we see all the things there that God has done for us. We see all the things that we can do to show to God how much we love Him. And I'm going to tell you something. That's exciting. And we need to get excited about it. Is that telling me I'm through? Forget that. We want to encourage you to think about this. We're going to finish this lesson tonight because there's several other things that I think we need to look at. But I want to plead with you this morning. You think about your soul. Now, we're here to help you. We'll pray with you and for you if you want to. If you don't want us to pray, we're going to pray anyhow. We may not pray specifically for you. And then again, we may pray specifically for you. For your faithfulness. For your service to God. For your dedication to God. We plead with you to come. The invitation song is for any person that wants to become a child of God. We'll help you to do that. All the garments, all the water, everything is there. All we need is a heart and a soul that wants to serve God. And wants to be dedicated to God. If you want us to pray for you as a person who you've drifted away, then we want to do that. We want to help you to be faithful. And we want you to help us because, see, we're all in this. There's times that I'm not the most faithful person I need to be, and maybe you're a little more faithful than I am at that time, and you can encourage me. And we can help each other. But if we can help you in any way in your service to God, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.